Now, spring has a way of stirring something deep with inside of us. We're spoiled here in Durban a little bit because Durban is always green. It's not like the Free State where your lawn dies and everything that's supposed to have life is dead and grey and fallen or just gone. I look at the rugby fields when I watch rugby on the television, and you see the rugby stadium here in Durban. Yes, like the lawn is green. And then they go and play with Griquas, then the Free State. And it's just red sand. There's nothing there. And so we spoiled for a little bit here in Durban with the coming of spring because there's already so much greenery around us. But spring stirs something deep inside of us. There's something when we talk about spring and we just look at nature around us when we drive on the M13 or the M7 or wherever we are, where we begin to see a change. After months of bare trees and dead lawns and lifeless fields, suddenly the world starts to wake up. Blossoms start to appear. The air softens and birdsong fills the mornings. You know, Shakespeare once said of spring that it hath put a spirit of youth in everything. There's a newness, there's a renewal when spring comes about. And that's the power of spring. It brings freshness, beauty, a sense of hope that the long winter that we have been through has truly passed. It's one of those seasons that seems to preach a sermon almost all by itself. You don't need a preacher to tell you that when the trees start budding, when the grass pushes its way through the brown earth, and when flowers start coloring the fields, that there's a message in there, that there's a revelation of God in there. It's as if creation itself is saying, winter does not last forever because God will bring a renewal. God will bring a change. Spring is God's gentle reminder that after barrenness comes fruitfulness. After waiting comes growth. And after silence, there is singing. Now, if you've lived long enough, you know that life has its winters as well. There are those difficult seasons that we go through. Seasons of no feeding, no joy, no growth in our times. Times when everything feels bare, when prayers seem unanswered, and when joy and peace is something that we long for every day. But just as surely as winter gives way to spring in God's creation, He also brings spiritual renewal in the lives of His people. And the Old Testament, and that's where we're going to be predominantly this morning. We haven't preached or spoke or taught from the Old Testament for a while. But the Old Testament is where we're going to be. So you can start peeping towards the left side of your Bible. The Old Testament is rich with imagery of renewal. It's rich with images of growth and rain and life breaking forth after barrenness. It's no accident that God uses those kind of pictures to remind us of who He is, what is important to Him, and what He does in the lives of His people. This morning I want us to look at four Old Testament passages that tie into the theme of springtime with God so that we can know that God is the source of spiritual renewal. That God is the one who's able to bring springtime and renewal in our spiritual lives when our lives have been suffering with a long, barren winter. We'll see that spring reminds us of four things. First of all, that God ends winters of barrenness. Secondly, that He brings life to wilderness places or deserts. That His Spirit renews the earth. And then finally, number four, that His faithfulness is like the spring rains. Number one, God ends winters of barrenness. Two, that He brings life to wilderness or desert places. That His Spirit renews the earth. And that His faithfulness is like the spring rains that come every year. Let's start with our first point. Spring reminds us that God brings an end to winter's barrenness. If you have your Bibles, please open to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. I have to admit, I've never ever heard someone preach from the Song of Solomon in church. And there are some reasons for that. But if you struggle to find it, it's after the book of Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon, and it's not Songs of Solomon, just Song of Solomon, and we're going to read together from chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 13. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Let's start as we read in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the poet writes the following there for us in verse 11 to verse 13. He says, "For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone." Well, our rain is coming. Verse 12, "The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away." In all of the Old Testament, this is probably one of the clearest pictures of spring that I could find in the Bible. The imagery is tender. It's filled with life, with sound, fragrance, and there's color in this passage as well. The gray of winter, the writer says, has passed. The rains have done their work, and now everything is coming alive again. It's like these two little bits of rain that we've had over the 2 days in this week. You can already see the change in nature just from that little bit of rain that fell. You see, for Israel, the God's people, winter wasn't the snow-filled season we picture, but rather a season of cold weather, miserable rain, and waiting. Waiting for spring. You can imagine if they are in the northern hemisphere, as the people look out over their lands during wintertime, fields are bare. Nothing can survive the frost and the cold weather, so there's nothing planted. Growth in anything was slow. Trees are almost stunted in where they were at the beginning of winter. Birds are not found that regularly out in the nature because it's too cold. And there's little outward evidence of life at all. Then, almost suddenly, spring arrived. And with it, the fragrance of blossoms, the sound of birds, and the sight of new fruits. Spiritually speaking, there are seasons when life feels like winter. There are times when our suffering and the difficulties that we go through feels like this picture of winter. Prayer seems unanswered. Spiritual growth is lacking. Joy feels hidden. And there is very little fruit in our lives. And maybe you've had times like this. Maybe you can identify a time of winter. Or maybe you are in a time of winter in your life. But here's the reminder of this text. Here's what the poet wants to tell us this morning. God brings an end to the winter of barrenness, the winter of suffering, the winter of trials. Just as surely as spring follows winter, God's renewing work follows the season of waiting. Think of Israel's history in the Old Testament. The people went through long winters. Slavery in Egypt was for many, many years. Wandering in the desert for 40 years. Exile in Babylon for 70 years. And yet God always brought about restoration. God always brought about spring in the lives of His people. He delivered them from their trial or their difficulty. He restored them to their splendor. And He renewed His covenant with them all over again. Think of Bible characters like Ruth and Job. God took them through some trying times of suffering and hardship, but eventually He also delivered them, restored them, and blessed them. And isn't that true for us as well? Just as we look at the nation of Israel, we too see these kind of winters in our lives. Maybe you've been in a winter of discouragement or suffering or trial. Maybe a winter of doubt. Maybe a winter of loss. It feels endless when you're in it, doesn't it? It feels like it's not going to end. But God whispers through this passage this morning to us. And He says, winter does not last forever. His mercy is renewed for us every morning. His Spirit still breathes life into us. His promises that He has made still stands for us. And the challenge is to believe in spring while we're still in winter. The challenge is to look forward to God's renewal, God's restoration, and God doing great things for us while we are suffering. We know that if we look at the flowers here on stage, and they're back this morning, we know these flowers didn't appear in spring just like that. It's not like you go to bed the one night and it's like dark and grey outside. You step out in the next morning and there's just flowers everywhere. It takes time. We know that as spring comes on, as the first rain starts to fall, over time, the beauty comes. The flowers come. So we have to wait in faith, trusting that God brings renewal in His time. But here's the truth. He will bring renewal in His time. Our second passage this morning is a book you know well. It's the book of Isaiah. Please go to the book of Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. And it's our second point this morning. Springtime reminds us that God brings life out of wilderness or desert places. God brings life in the desert or the wilderness. I want us to read together from Isaiah chapter 35, and we're just going to read the first two verses. Isaiah 35, verse 1 and verse 2. When we talk about the wilderness in this translation, we refer to in our language what we would call a desert or a dry piece of land. Isaiah writes in verse 1, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God." Isaiah paints here for us a picture of transformation. He starts off in verse 1 with this very bleak idea of the desert, the wilderness, dry land, the desert, the blossom. And he says, in all of this, there is new growth. There's a transformation. The wilderness, barren, dry, and lifeless, suddenly breaks forth into bloom. Daisies and feijis, those first flowers of spring, push their way through the desert soil and just color the landscape. The barren land is filled with beauty, and joy all of a sudden bursts forth out of nature. It looks like Namakwa land, where a lot of people now are watching the flowers and looking at just these fields of flowers that God has sown for us to enjoy. Something wonderful to behold. And what's striking is that the desert is not just simply improved. It's not just changed to make it a little bit better. Isaiah gives us this emphatic idea that it's changed completely. It's transformed completely. Desolation is turned into beauty. Dryness is turned into fruitfulness. Emptiness, well, that's filled with glory. And it all points back to the majesty of God. This is more than just poetic language, because for Israel, the desert was a very real place. They just had to leave their front door and they're out in the desert. It represented not just geography for them, but also a spiritual dryness and exile. And yet God promises that He can bring life where no life could and should exist. Think about this in your own life. Are there wilderness places, areas of dryness, barrenness, or hopelessness in your life? Maybe a relationship that you have with someone that feels lifeless, friends or family or children. A struggle with sin that feels unending. No matter how much you pray and how much you try to break free from this habitual sin, you can't. Or a part of your heart that feels too broken to be healed. Isaiah says God can make even deserts bloom. Sometimes we look at situations and we say, there's no way this can change. This part of my life is just too dry, too empty. But this passage reminds us that God, well, He specializes in deserts. He can transform what looks hopeless. Springtime reminds us of that truth when we see this change in nature. Life comes where we least expect it. So don't give up on God's ability to bring about renewal in your life, to bring about restoration in your life. Just like the daisies and the feijis and other wildflowers bloom in the wilderness or in the desert as a testimony that the glory of God shines brightest in the most unlikely places. Our third point this morning comes from Psalm 104. So go back to the book of Psalm and let's read together Psalm 104. And we're going to read one verse there. Psalm 104, we're going to read verse 30. And this brings us to our third point. Spring reminds us that God's Spirit renews the face of the earth. God's Spirit renews the face of the earth. Psalm 104, verse 30. We're going to read together verse 30. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Now this psalm, Psalm 104, is a hymn or a song of praise to the Creator. It's a psalm that lifts up the glory of God. And the psalmist is here marveling at God's wisdom in creation. He's looking at the flowers and he's looking at creation in general, and he's just in awe of God's wisdom and God's creation. How he provides for the flowers, how he's made them intricately, each one with its own petals and its own design, how animals are taken care of in springtime, how he sets the boundaries of the sea with low tide and high tide, and how he orders the rhythm of life. The psalmist is just in awe of God's beauty and God's way of creation. And here, he focuses on the renewing work of God's Spirit. Notice that it's the Spirit in this verse, he says, that brings renewal. God sends forth his Spirit, and creation is not only sustained, but it's renewed. Spring is the visible testimony of this truth. The earth may look dead in winter, but it's never beyond God's renewing touch. Every time the green shoots push up through the ground, every time the blossom appears on the tree, it is a fresh sermon from creation that God brings renewal, that God is able to restore, and that His Spirit, according to this passage, is still at work. He has not abandoned the world that He has made. And if that's true of the ground, how much more it is of His creation and His people. The same Spirit who renews the face of the earth also renews the human heart. Ezekiel, for instance, spoke of God giving His people a new heart and a new spirit. David, the great servant of God, prayed, "Renew a steadfast spirit within me," when he confessed his sin. Renewal is not something we manufacture. It's not something we ourselves can do. It is a gift of God's Spirit for our lives. Maybe this morning you feel a bit worn out. Maybe you're a bit tired, weary, or spiritually dry. Maybe you're not in the right place to even be together with brothers or sisters this morning. But the good news this morning is that renewal does not depend on your strength, but on God's Spirit. Where you are and how you feel does not depend on how you can deal with it, but on God's Spirit. Just as surely as He renews the face of the earth each spring, we know that He can renew your heart. He can breathe fresh life into weary souls. So don't underestimate what God's Spirit can do in your life. He's the Spirit of creation, the Spirit of renewal. He's the Spirit of life. And every spring season should be a reminder for us that God is still in the business of making things new. And He can do the same for us. Which brings us to our final point, number four. And for this, we turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea. I know some of you probably have to go to the index to find Hosea. But if you want to, it's after Daniel, after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 6. This brings the fourth point. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Spring reminds us that God's faithfulness is like the spring rains. Spring can't take place without spring rain. And this text reminds us that God's faithfulness is like the spring rain. It's coming, and it will come. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Let us know, let us press on to the Lord. He's going out as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Here in this text, Hosea the prophet uses agricultural imagery. We know that the Israelites were a people of agriculture. They planted fields, they plowed, they had to plant their own food, and they had a valley that was very fruitful for them to be able to cultivate their own crop. Israel's survival depended on the rain. They can't plant if there's no rain to fall. And it's the same story in South Africa. After the first rains, you see all the farmers jumping out and starting to rip the fields and getting it ready to be planted. And when they have a little bit more rain, they will plant. And then they pray for the follow-up rain to actually just water that seed and allow it to germinate and sprout. Israel depended on the spring rain. The early rains prepared the soil for them. The spring rains made the crops grow and eventually brought the harvest for the people. Without the rain, and it's the same everywhere, there was famine. There was no harvest. There was no food to bring into the house. But with the rain, there was life, there was provision, and there was abundance. Hosea tells us that's what God's faithfulness is like. He is like that spring rain. Just as the farmer could count on the rains in their season, well, so we can count on the Lord to be faithful in our lives. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, Hosea says. His presence is as refreshing as the spring rain. Let's think about that for a moment. Rain is not only necessary, but it's also refreshing. It's like the sky is clearer, all the dust has been washed off. Nature just a sigh of relief, and new growth is coming. After a long dry season, the spring rain soaks the earth, softens the soil, and growth starts to take place. In the same way, God comes to his people, not only with faithfulness, but with refreshing grace. Many of us know what it is to go through a dry season. Many of us have had a tough year so far. We're in September already. And some of us wish the year would finish up because it's been a rough year. Both in our lives physically, but also spiritually, we have been struggling. Our prayers feel dry. It's like they're bouncing against the ceiling. Our worship feels heavy. Some of us can't even worship on a Sunday morning. God seems distant, or our lives have become so busy. This morning, many of your brothers and sisters are not even in church today. We all struggle with a dry spell, a difficult time in our lives. But then God comes like the rain. He falls into our lives, waters our hearts, refreshes our souls, and he brings growth where there was only dryness for a long time. That's why Hosea urges us to press on to know the Lord. You see, renewal isn't passive. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's not just to let go and let God, and you know, God will do what he needs to do in my life when he wants to and how he wants to. No, renewal isn't passive. It calls for pursuit. It's something that we must desire in our lives. We don't create the rain, but we can turn our faces upward, waiting for it, longing for it, and trusting that God will send that rain of renewal. And it does come. And in God's time and in God's way. And so spring rains reminds us that God's faithfulness never fails. All of us this morning can say, you know, do you know summer? What's the season after summer? Autumn, right? Have we had autumn this year? Yes. Have we had winter this year? Are we going to have spring this year? How do you know that? Because it's been there every year since I've been on the face of this earth. And when my parents were on the face of the earth, it's always there. After winter comes spring. Just as the seasons are faithfully rolling over, God's faithfulness will come. He is dependable. He is refreshing. And he brings the growth that we need. He brings the renewal that we need. Let me close then this morning with a summary of what we've seen. Springtime, particularly in the Old Testament, is more than just a season. There was a special meaning for God's people about spring. It is a sermon preached through creation, through the flowers, through nature and the change that we see, pointing us to God's work of renewal in our lives. From the Song of Solomon, we learn that God ends the winters of barrenness in our lives. From Isaiah, we see that God brings life even in the desert places. From the book of Psalms, we're reminded that God's Spirit renews the face of the earth. And from Hosea, we've discovered that God's faithfulness is like the spring rains. Folks, every flower that blooms, every drop of spring rain, every daisy in the wilderness, all of the flowers that we see here this morning and as we drive home today, all of this is a testimony that God is the Lord of new life and renewal. He takes what looks dead and makes it alive. He takes what is barren and makes it fruitful again. He takes what is dry and makes it refreshing again. And so let me ask you this question this morning. Where do you need God's springtime renewal in your life today? Is there a winter of discouragement that needs to end? Maybe your life has been a desert life. Maybe you don't know God in your life. Maybe you've never met with this renewing God, this God who brings faithfully change in the lives of His people. Maybe you are yearning for this renewal, yearning for this change. Today is the day, the start of spring, to ask the questions about this God who saves, this God who brings renewal. And for those of you who are believers this morning, is there a winter of discouragement that needs to end? Is there a time of trial and suffering or difficulty? Is there a dryness that needs some refreshing? Maybe a spiritual principle or an activity like reading your Bible or praying or being faithful as a Christian where things need to change. Spring is God's way of whispering to us, I am still here. I am still working. And I am still faithful. May we be a people who look for His renewal, who trust in His Spirit, and who rejoice in His faithfulness. And may this spring, from tomorrow onwards, not only be a change in the weather, but be a season of spiritual newness and of renewal in our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that this morning we could reflect from the Scriptures about spring. And not only see that it's not just a change of the season, it's not just a phase change in nature, but it's a message of hope, a message of renewal, a message of strengthening. And Father, this morning we are so grateful that we can be reminded by every single flower that we see, every bird that we hear out in nature, as we drive along on our way to work or back, as we just for a moment reflect on the yellow flowers and all the bougainvilleas that are flowering and the strelitzias that are open. And Lord, as we just see spring happening, the newness of life, that we can have hope in Your renewal of our lives. And so I pray this morning for my brothers and sisters. I ask, Lord, that You know the dryness that's in their life. You know the spirits of their faith. You know the difficulties that they go through. May You bring renewal. May You restore them to life. And Lord, may they, in response, just bring You praise, honor, and glory. Not only for that renewal and for that freshness, but for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank You that spring is a message of God's faithfulness and God's renewal. And thank You that we this morning can celebrate that message. We worship You, we praise You, and we thank You, and we ask that as we part this morning, part us with Your blessing until we're able to meet next week. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.